WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Less than 1 year after a baby sheep was cloned from an adult sheep, a scientist in Chicago named Richard Seed has announced that he plans on opening a clinic in the next 90 days to clone human babies. Seed is a physicist who was involved with fertility research in the 80s. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Gina Collada, a New York Times science reporter, who has written a new book about the history, science, and ethics of cloning. First, we have NPR science correspondent Joe Palca with us. Yesterday, he broke the story about the planned human cloning clinic. What does Richard Seed want to do at his clinic?
Well, he wants to provide this as an alternative to infertile couples who want to have babies. And he's described certain scenarios where cloning would be a couple's only option. For example, if a man can produce no sperm at all and he wanted to have a genetic offspring related to him, he would have to give some of his DNA from not a sperm, and that would essentially be cloning him by putting it into presumably his wife's egg, which had its DNA removed.
This fellow sounds pretty confident that he's ready to begin human cloning, but what are some of the scientific obstacles he has to overcome in order to actually do it?
Well, they're really enormous. I mean, the Scottish scientists who succeeded with cloning Dolly only succeeded after more than 200 attempts. So to say that he's confident is more than anybody in the world says about trying this in any animal. Sheep, where it's been done, there have been reports that I've talked with people who've said they've tried it in cattle, and there may, in fact, be some pregnancies now from this same technique, but only like a handful. And so to say, well, I'm going to take this technology, which hasn't been proven in animals and never attempted in humans, and I'm going to try it, and I think it's going to be at least as successful as current in vitro fertilization techniques is pretty wishful thinking, I think.
Can he legally start cloning humans in Chicago?
Well, in one sense, he can. Right now, there's a federal prohibition on spending any federal money on cloning. So if you're a private citizen and you want to spend money on cloning, that's okay. There is one state that I know of, California, that has passed a law that makes cloning illegal. So you can't clone in California, cloning human beings. So in principle, he could try. But now the Food and Drug Administration has said, well, you're going to be manipulating cells and tissue in the body and putting it back into people, and we've decided we have jurisdiction over that kind of thing. So in theory, at least, although they haven't seen the details of what Dr. Seed is proposing, they would have authority to look at his plans and approve or reject them.
What is the ethical debate surrounding his proposal?
Well, I think it goes back to the question of when is it appropriate to try this. There's a larger debate about whether anybody should do this ever, right? And there are some people who say, no, cloning is beyond what we were intended to do. And there are other people who say, yes, cloning is not that different than other kinds of assisted reproduction. So that's the big debate, and that's still an open question. But the debate about whether it's ethical to try today when you haven't finished proving that it works in animals, it seems to be clearer, and most people seem to think it's unethical to do today.
Joe, in your report on Richard Seed, he said that he thinks human cloning will bring us closer to God because God made man in God's image, and now if man makes man in his own image, that's going to bring him closer to God. And I wonder what kind of reaction that comment has gotten, if you know.
Well, just judging by the people around here that have heard it and I've talked to have heard it, it's one of those comments that encompasses a great deal. And it's so huge in its philosophy that it's a little hard to know how to judge it. It gives almost a messianic quality to his interest in this, which makes some people uncomfortable. I think you have to realize that this is not a man in the mainstream. He's a bit of a fringe player, and he's a big thinker. And clearly he's seeing this as a calling in some way, and that makes people uncomfortable. That doesn't make him wrong or doesn't mean he can't do it, but it certainly makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Do you expect anyone is going to try to prevent him from setting up the clinic in Chicago?
Yes. I think that the notoriety that has already begun to occur now that his story has been, you know, been out on the national media and picked up in several other news organizations is going to focus a very sharp, very bright spotlight on him. And I think that, you know, the president was very clear, President Clinton, back in June when he said, I'm asking the private sector not to do this and I'm prohibiting the federal government from spending money on it. I think it would be very hard for someone to proceed in that climate in such a public way.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're most welcome.
Joe Palca is NPR science correspondent. A new book called Clone looks at the scientific breakthroughs that made Dolly, the cloned sheep, possible. The book also examines the ethical debate around cloning. Yesterday, I spoke with the author Gina Collada, who's a science reporter for The New York Times. I asked her first to describe the basic concept of cloning.
The idea of cloning is to take the genetic material from a cell, and let's say it's an adult skin cell, for example. You take the genetic material from a skin cell and you use that to create an entire new organism that will be born as the identical twin of the person or animal or whatever that gave you that skin cell. It's kind of an amazing concept because it's saying that you can take the genes from a cell which has already had its fate determined, take them all the way back to the state they were at when sperm first fertilized egg, and create a new being from those genes. It's amazing, really.
The most famous cloned organism is Dolly the sheep, and she was cloned from the cell of an adult sheep. What was so remarkable about the case of Dolly?
There are a couple of things that were remarkable. First of all, these were cells from udder cells from a sheep that was long dead, and the udder cells had remained frozen in a test tube in a freezer for 3 years. What was absolutely amazing about this is many people had thought that this was impossible, that once a cell has reached its final destination, its final fate, you can't turn the clock backwards. For example, a brain cell never becomes a liver cell, a lung cell never becomes a kidney cell. So why would we think that a cell taken from an udder of a sheep could become an embryo, the very earliest embryo, and develop from there into a newborn baby, which is the genetic identical twin of that sheep who's dead, whose udder cells are remaining in the freezer?
Now, let me stop you right here and make sure I understand. An embryo cell, the cells haven't differentiated yet into heart tissue and lung tissue and facial tissue, whereas once you take the cell from an adult, it's already differentiated. It's become the tissue of a particular organ.
That's right. And people had thought that once you reach that state, that final state of a cell, that something has changed and you can't take the genes backwards again to what they had once been.
But this is what the scientists who made Dolly were able to do.
That is exactly what they did. They were able to take those genes and make them into every cell of a new organism because Dolly was a newborn sheep that had exactly the same genes as that other sheep who was already dead.
Now, how did the scientists do it? How did they take this cell from the udder of an adult sheep and clone it?
Well, all the work was done by the egg, which is what makes this really remarkable. The egg is really the cell that does what scientists can't do. What the scientists did was they took an egg from a sheep that was not related to Dolly, just a sheep of a totally different species, and took the genetic material, the DNA, out of that egg. Then they added into the egg the DNA from the udder cell. And the way they did that is not as important as the fact that they just added in new DNA into an egg. And the egg reversed the genetic program so that it was no longer DNA that was only going to make new udder cells and turned it back so that it was DNA that could create a whole new sheep.
What are the implications of this?
Well, the thing that makes scientists so excited about this is the idea that if you can allow an egg to bring the DNA of a developed cell, a differentiated cell, back to ground zero, back to where it started from again, then why would you have to have that new thing develop into a whole new organism? Why couldn't you force it to develop into whatever you want? For example, a new bone marrow only, just bone marrow. Or perhaps in the future sometime, a new heart or a new liver or new lungs. In fact, that's why scientists have been so concerned that we not act too quickly in trying to ban cloning, because they say what's going to really change our lives is not cloning new human beings, which, although I think it's going to happen, it will probably happen very rarely and for very special reasons, but actually thinking of, like, when you're 60 years old and your heart is giving out, taking some cells escaping from your mouth, taking those cells, putting them into an egg or whatever we end up doing in these days in the future, and then letting that new cell grow into a new heart for you, or a new liver, or a new bone marrow. And that's going to change our whole idea of what we are as a species. We no longer will have to think that when a part of us starts to give out, that that's it. We can start to think about possibly growing our own replacement parts, and that's just astonishing.
It certainly is. Now, you said at the beginning of that thought that you thought human cloning was going to be a pretty rare occurrence if it happens. Why do you think it will be rare?
I think it's going to be very expensive, just like in vitro fertilization and other assisted fertility techniques are very expensive. But more important, I think most of us will probably want to have children with our partners. However, I think there are a few situations when cloning may seem like the best option. And in those situations, I think that there are in vitro fertilization clinics that are interested in providing this as a service. And moreover, I think when it gets provided as a service, we're going to open the door to genetic engineering, which is something that we hasn't really been feasible in the past, and it is feasible now. So if you'd like, I can tell you the situations when I think people might want to clone themselves, and then the situations when they might want to genetically engineer as well. Should I go on?
Yeah, well, when do you think people might want to clone themselves?
Okay. Well, I think that there's a couple of situations. One of them is some people, even today, have had children in order to have organ donors. Now, this is very rare, and it sounds sort of crazy, but some ethicists have said that they thought that this was not objectionable, really. The one situation in which that I wrote about, and almost everybody else did too, was a family in California named the Ayalas. And they had a teenage daughter who was dying of leukemia. The only thing that would save her was a bone marrow transplant, which meant they had to take the bone marrow from somebody else and give it to her. But unfortunately, there was nobody in her family and nobody in a huge computerized databank of potential bone marrow donors who matched closely enough to make this possible. So the mother said, I'm going to have another baby so that I can have a bone marrow donor. And the father had a vasectomy, said he wanted to do it so badly he had a vasectomy reversed. The mother was in her 40s. Somehow, miraculously, she became pregnant. There was one chance in four that the baby would be genetically close enough to match their daughter who was dying. And it worked. The baby was close enough. When she was a year old, she provided bone marrow, and she saved her older sister's life, and now the Ayalas have two children instead of none. Now, when I wrote about this for the New York Times, I asked, has this happened before? And the answer I found was, yes, it happens more often than people realize, and it also happens with kidney donors. And some families actually abort if the fetus is not of the right, is not closely related, so they couldn't use it as a donor. Now, you may say that you find this abhorrent, but the problem is that we don't really tell people that they have to give a good reason for having a baby or for having an abortion. It's really considered a private reproductive choice. If you could clone, you wouldn't have to take one chance in four of having a child that would be a close enough genetic match. You could have an identical twin. Now, the identical twin might be born years later, but who would even have to know it was a clone? I mean, just because they resemble the child 10 years later or something? But you would have somebody that would be the perfect donor, and it could be a private decision of yours. I think that that would be very tempting for some people, and I think that that's one reason it would happen.
Do you think that in the future cloning might become an option for people who have infertility problems?
I think that there's a human urge to have children that are genetically related to us. And I think that's one reason that so many people go through so many years of agony and spend so much money in vitro fertilization clinics. Now, there are many people who, for one reason or another, I'm thinking many women who, for one reason or another, don't have a partner and they would like to have children. Some of these women are reaching their 40s, let's say, or maybe even 50. And it gets increasingly difficult. Even if you say, I think I'll just take some sperm from an anonymous donor and have my own eggs fertilized, it becomes increasingly unlikely as you grow older that you'll be successful. So these days you have a choice. You can choose an egg donor, a person who's unrelated to you that you don't know, and you can choose her according to all sorts of characteristics. Is she the same ethnic group as you? What's her IQ? What were her SAT scores? You can go through a whole list of characteristics and choose what you think is the perfect egg donor. And you can do the same thing for a sperm donor. And then a fertility clinic can mix the sperm and eggs, create an embryo just for you, and you can try to become pregnant and have that baby. Now, I think that there are going to be people who would say, I would rather have a child that's genetically related to me. I would rather clone myself. And it wouldn't really be me, because after all, say I'm 50 years old, I have a clone of myself. This baby may resemble me, but she will be born 50 years later in an entirely different world. It's not really me. And anyway, isn't that my own private reproductive decision? Whose right is it to tell me whether I can have a baby or what the genetic inheritance of that baby should be? So these are some rare situations where I think some people are going to want to spend the money to clone. And I know that there are infertility clinics that will provide that service when they've had some more experience with manipulating the cells that they would have to do.
My guest is Gina Collada, author of the new book, Clone. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about cloning with New York Times science reporter Gina Collada. How does the possibility of human cloning affect the possible things we could do with genetic engineering?
What cloning does for the very first time is allows us to seriously think about doing genetic engineering of human beings. And the reason is that one of the problems with genetic engineering is how are you going to get those genes into the cells? Say you wanted to make a child that was going to be resistant to AIDS, could never develop AIDS. We know there are genes that confer resistance to HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. But how would you get them into every cell of a human being? Well, if you cloned, it's actually not that hard. For example, you could take a cell. Let's take the kind of cell that everybody always wants to take, some scraping from the roof of the mouth, because it's so easy to get. And you could grow it in the laboratory into huge sheets of millions of cells if you wanted them. You could have a lot of those cells. Now you could add to those cells a gene that confers resistance to AIDS. Now most of those cells, when you add genes, most cells don't take them up. So almost every cell just rejects the gene. And even those that do take up the gene don't use it. But there may be like one out of every several thousand that does take up the gene and does use it properly. Well, you don't care. You've got millions of cells. You just find the one or two or three, whatever you need, that has the gene that you wanted to add. It's inside the cell now. It's being used. You clone that cell. And now you're going to make a person whose every cell in their body has a gene that makes them resistant to AIDS. And we can think about that for a lot of genes that we're now finding with the Human Genome Project and with other research that confer resistance to diseases like, let's say, Alzheimer's disease. So we can think about doing something that's morally equivalent, I think, to vaccination. When you make somebody resistant to polio, you do it in a very different way, but the result is they can never get that disease. The questions will come in when we get more complex genes and more complicated traits.
What do you see as the real hazards, the dangers of cloning?
We actually don't know for sure, but everything we know about cloning indicates, sort of paradoxically enough, that it should be safer than normal reproduction. Now, this is going to sound weird because you've probably heard 1,000 times about all the dangers of cloning. But in fact, most of the things that go wrong and create birth defects, or more likely embryos that just die so the woman has a miscarriage, go wrong right in the very beginning when an egg cell is starting to get itself ready to be fertilized, or a sperm cell is developing so that it can fertilize an egg. And with cloning, you avoid those steps altogether. You're starting out with genes that have already gone through that step because they come from an adult organism. So you would avoid, these common birth defects are so common that by the time you get into your 40s or so, about 90% of all fertilized eggs don't survive because they have these genetic defects. And the other thing that makes human reproduction so chancy is mutations that can occur that can be lethal or that can cause serious diseases. you don't have that problem with cloning. You're taking a cell whose genes are fine. You know that. Otherwise, that you wouldn't have even gotten that cell because that animal or that person wouldn't have survived. So you actually avoid a lot of the things that make it so chancy to reproduce the normal way.
You know, it's interesting. Ian Wilmut, one of the scientists who cloned Dolly, opposes human cloning. What are his reasons for opposing it?
Ian Wilmut's been very careful about this. He says that he finds it abhorrent and he doesn't like human cloning. When I asked him about some specific examples that were sort of along the way, he wasn't quite as adamant. For example, I asked him, suppose you were infertile and you're having a lot of trouble having embryos, and suppose you only could get one embryo, but the doctor said, let me clone this embryo, not cloning a human being, clone the embryo and make 8 or 10 instead of the one that you have, and then you'll have a better chance to become pregnant. And then if you have a few left over, we can freeze them and you can have the identical twins a few years later. Is that objectionable? And he said, no, he didn't really have a problem with that. Now, that's still creating identical twins born years apart. But then you say, well, what is objectionable? And he keeps coming back to the fact that he really wants to go ahead with his research, which he and I and many others believe is going to really advance medicine in a different way, because it's not cloning humans, it's cloning animals, and it's also going to advance science. And he doesn't want people to think that he's interested in being out there saying, I'm going to clone, and that he's some sort of a madman. So I think he's been purposely cautious, scientific, and I think appropriately too, and has stayed away from things which he has no interest in doing. He's not going to clone. He doesn't work with human cells, and his work is not really directed toward that.
Gina Collada is a science reporter for the New York Times. Her new book is called Clone. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.